Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather once again, and we thank you for your precious word. And Lord, so familiar scriptures to us in a way, and yet we so need that reminding over and over and over and over and over and over again. So help us not to discard it just because I've heard this before, Lord. Guide us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, going through the prayers in the Bible, we are now in the book of Numbers once again, and we're going to be there for a while because we're going to be talking about one of our favorite subjects today, which doesn't apply to any of you, but it certainly applies to me, and that's complaining. Complaining. We're going to have seven times in the book of Numbers where the Lord gets very displeasured with his children for complaining. We've already had four times in Exodus, and we'll have one more time in Deuteronomy. So we've got 12 times here in the Old Testament here of complaining. And it's a significant thing when it brings God such displeasure every time that the Bible shows the reaction that happens. And we've got one today. Now, if you look in your Bible, we just ended the verse right before with this exciting prayer that we had last week with Moses saying, "Rise up, O Lord, let your enemies be scattered, and let those who hate you flee before us." That's whenever they went out. And whenever they stopped, it said, "Return, O Lord, to the many thousands of Israel." And so we were all kind of excited in a way. That was the first trip that Israel took, and they only went about 8 miles, 3 days, but they were in perfect formation with Judah leading, and they laid out like a cross, of course, as you would look down from the top, with the children of Israel following the cloud and the pillar of fire by night. And so now the very next word, we'll have four of these or three of these in this chapter, now, 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 now. The now is not definitive in how long it's been since the last verse, but verse 11 has, chapter 1 says now. So just remember, we've just had this prayer of how they look to the Lord to protect them. They look to the Lord to be with them. And right away now we have a dramatic shift in problems here. Verse 1, now when the people complained. Now, we aren't even told why they're complaining. And I really think that is so true from all of us. We so often complain when we don't even have anything to complain about, right? We just complain. And the other thing that is so amazing here, that if two or three people out of 2 million start to complain, pretty soon the whole group is complaining. Very, very contagious. We have two contagious opportunities. One is to be proclaiming the good news, or the other is to be complaining. So as you look at your scale, is how much praise, worship, and thanksgiving is on one side, how much complaining on the other side. Because it says, when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. It displeased the Lord. May I remember, may you remember, whenever you complain, it displeases the Lord. Why does it displease him? Well, we all say, the Lord is in control. He is. The Lord gives everything I have. He does. But now I'm going to complain. I don't like what he's given me. That's what complaining is, isn't it? Lord, I'm upset. I'm upset. And since everything comes from you, it must be you're the problem because I'm so upset, right? So it displeases the Lord. Now, it doesn't say he complained to Moses in this case. And many times it says he complained to Moses. But here they complained, or they didn't complain. They complained, but it says the Lord heard it. So think of that. You don't have to be complaining out loud for the Lord to hear it. You can be murmuring and mumbling and not even be maybe heard by others, but the Lord heard it. The Lord heard it, and his anger was aroused. Is there anyone who really wants to grieve the Holy Spirit? I don't think so, but do we? Yes. Do we really fear it? Probably not enough. For the Lord heard it, and his anger was aroused. So look at the reaction. So the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some in the outskirts of the camp. So this is quite a reaction for complaining, right? He sends fire down on them and even kills some of them on the out fringes of the thing. He's showing his holy fire here. He's not just quietly displeased, not letting them know how serious the complaining is. If I saw fire breaking out and I knew the Lord was displeased, would that get your attention? Hope to tell you it would. But now the people cry out. They don't cry out to the Lord, they cry out to Moses. Who do you cry out to? Then the people cried out to Moses. And notice this. This is so beautiful, particularly for our group here. When Moses prayed to the Lord, the fire was quenched. Wow. When Moses prayed to the Lord, the fire was quenched. Think of the power of prayer there. Think of what's going on here. God makes it known very clearly to them his displeasure. People are dying in the fire. Fire is burning around the edges. And they cry out to Moses, faithful. They should have cried out to the Lord. But in those days, you know, it was all the high priest situation. We didn't have the access. They didn't have the access to the throne of God that we do, right? So I can kind of understand that they're going to cry out to their representative there. And in this case, it's Moses. We cry out to the Lord. We don't need to go through an intermediary other than that of Jesus Christ, right? So Moses prayed to the Lord. The fire was quenched. Moses, he called the name of the place Taberah. Taberah means burning, fitly. Burning, for sure. So he called that. And so he now even names a place, and God has him name a place to kind of memorialize. This was a place of complaining, and this is a place where, because of the Lord's displeasure, fire broke out and killed some of the people. Don't forget it. Kind of a memorial, Taberah. I have a little map on the notes. I don't want to spend too much time on the map because nobody knows where any of these cities are. Most or many think it's in Saudi Arabia, not in Sinai. None of us are quite old enough to have been there, so your opinion is as good as anyone else's in a way. But the places on the map are amazing when you look at every place something is given in the name of a stop or a city, it's a problem. Here, they're going to be, now they were earlier, they had the problem in Rephidim, they didn't have any water, right? Then they didn't have any food. So he sent them manna. Actually, I have that reversed, his manna and then the water problem. Now they're crying out, I don't even know what their problem is now, because they only went 8 miles. They can't be worn out that much, that tired. They may be obviously getting fed up with the wilderness, but they're going to, because of unbelief, stay there 40 years, not by God's choice, by their reaction. So he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord had burned among them. So you would think, good, they've learned their lesson. But you go to the very next verse, and it says, now the mixed multitude who were with them yielded to intense craving, so the children of Israel, we'll get there next week, so the children of Israel also wept again and said, who will give us meat to eat? So they're just murmuring one after the other, complaining, just like us. Or maybe we should put it the other way, we're just like them. So we see now, we will just do the first three verses today because that's enough to focus on the complaining. So when we complain, It displeases the Lord, and he will show his displeasure one way or the other. He's got grace. He wants you to repent, and he wants you to turn back to him, but we need to watch our balance on complaints versus praises. I'm kind of amazed since what we went through the last 2 weeks now with the assassination of Charlie Kirk, how we see such glorious things happening on one hand, and we think, oh, good, things are going to turn for the better. The enemy's going to be quiet now because nobody will put up with this assassination stuff. So what actually happens? As the good rises, the evil rises, right? And it's always going to be that way. Well, it won't be that way in heaven, but it's always going to be that way here on earth. The evil is not going to back down. The evil is going to increase. And so you see it all the way through the scriptures. You see, go to any of the epistles, go to Philippians. If you put down the evil things happening and the bad things happening to Paul, you would say, well, that certainly can't be God's will. He made a mistake in going to that place. And on the other hand, at the same time, there's all kinds of people coming to the Lord and the gospel is going out. So I was just thinking on the way in this morning, you know, we're so excited now about the youth and about people excited about the Lord and talking about the Lord. And I hope you've had a good week. I hope you've done something this last week since we met last time that indicates where you stand and influencing other people, because that's why it's all here, isn't it? So what a time to be alive. If we didn't have any evil ones out there, we could kind of sit back and be quiet. But there's a lot of evil out there, isn't there? All over the place. And we have the good news. So if we just want to say, well, I just want to surround myself with believers. I don't want to get out there and mix up with those evil people. Well, I'm not talking about going looking for evil people. But I'm talking about when the Lord puts the unbeliever in your path, we're supposed to ask him what to do with it, right? And then respond and not complain. Oh, Lord, I'm so fed up with all these assassinations and all of these weirdos out there killing everybody. You got to do something about it, Lord. And he kind of whispers, well, I kept you alive another day. Right? Isn't that why we're here? If he didn't have ministry for us to hear, none of us would be here this morning. We'd be with him. We can't be any more saved than we are when we came to the Lord. But he's got things for us to do. So that's the reason we're here today. So we want to pray. And however the Lord leads us, I put a couple of things down here before we're over. Thanking the Lord for the protection over the memorial service last week ago Sunday. And the gospel message went forth to thousands upon thousands upon thousands. We want to pray for a continuing worldwide harvest. I think we want to pray for a true revival in the believers. Remember, the believers are the only ones that can be revived. An unbeliever is dead. You don't have a relive if you're dead. But it's an awakening of the unbelievers. We want that for sure. So for a great revival of the church, we've got millions, millions, millions in California and in this nation who say they're Christians, who say they're born again. Where are they? You know, and are they on their knees? Because it's the prayer, isn't it, that we need to focus on. And, of course, for many more to come to Jesus, obviously, always. So let's go to prayer now as the Spirit would lead you, and whatever he has for us to say, let us bring it to him. And we see how effective when Moses prayed, the Lord stopped the fire and he responded to the prayer, which was in accordance with his will. He didn't want to bring the punishment on the people. So the punishment was very mild and it was very short. But it almost seems like he's waiting for a request for him to be merciful. And our prayers are not going to change his purpose. Our prayers are not going to change what he's going to accomplish. But if our prayers are in accordance with his will, they will be done. So let us pray. Father, we do thank you for meeting us here this morning. Reminded of this passage in 15th chapter of John, Jesus speaking 2,000 years ago, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they also will persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. And verse 21 is kind of a key here. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. Lord, we know we're going to have evil against us. And I don't think you sent us here to change countries. I think that's only you can do that. But we can change a life. We have that opportunity every hour of every day to touch another person who doesn't know you. They're all around us. The now is very important to get to the then, because the now is the day of salvation. Now is the time to be ready. Watch, work, and wait for my return, yes, but now is the time. You've given us this day, this one day in September here, Lord. May it be used each and every day to the fullest. Lord, you've given us the word. We don't need to be taught more about what salvation is about and what the heaven is like and all of this. We know that. And we have the only answer there is, and that is Jesus Christ. Only Jesus died that we could live. And you have prepared everything for us. That's why we know we're saved, because of what you've done. It's not because we do. So, Lord, I know Amos was given to the children of Israel really in a term there that they were undergoing a famine. A famine was not because they didn't have the word. The famine was because they didn't heed the word. They weren't in the word. They weren't doing the word. And so, Father, we want to do your will in letting others see you. May we touch somebody's life today. Prayer, sure. But also, you'll put people in our hearts. May we call them, or may we just pray for them. But the salvation issue is the eternal issue. All these other things are going to pass away. And we know you're going to make all things right. We don't have to remind you of all the corruption in the world. You already know it far better than we could ever know it. And it does grieve our hearts, but you have given us things that we are to do while we're here. Help us to do it today. And that is can all be buried under complaints if we allow that to come into the thing. So we've had that lesson pretty clearly again today to us. So I just want to close here with this little praise song. Hear my cry, O Lord. We see the people cried out. We see Moses cried out, and you heard their cry. So let us stand and sing.
Hear my cry, O Lord. Attend unto my prayer. From the
Father, we do thank you that you gave us the rock.
Yes.
And that rock is Christ. So we come to you this morning and we cry out and just help us to be more like you, Lord. To learn from you, as you have said, learn from me, for I am lowly and gentle in heart, Lord. Only two things that you ask us to learn, I believe, and have we learned either one of them? But gentleness and lowliness in heart, Lord, help us with that. Help me with that. And Lord, may we stand for you today. May we just have that heart to let others know. We know they're on the precipice of going to hell for all eternity in a place that's torment unending. And if we have any love for them at all, Lord, we would do whatever we can do to affect that outcome. We can't save them, but we can shine for you by your Spirit to make a difference in their lives, I believe. So that's the reason we're still here. So help us to redeem the time in Jesus' name. And I thank you for each one. And bless them, Lord. Amen.